anyone in the Champaign-Urbana area after regular office hours. More information is at 217-328-2323.
Sunny today, we'll hit a high of 63, says Ed Kieser. We have a ways to go. It's only 45 on Friends Plaza. It'll have weather after AM 580 News. Here's Tom Rogers.
Thanks, Jay. Good morning. The Associated Press is reporting that Illinois State Treasurer Alexi Janulius will make a $1 billion deposit in the state's banks to ease credit and bolster confidence. Janulius says his plan to offer banks one-year deposits of up to $25 million will allow them to keep lending during the Wall Street meltdown, particularly to businesses that need short-term loans or credit lines to stock shelves or pay employees. But the first-term Democrat says it will also boost consumer confidence that their money is safe in local financial institutions. Janulius is planning to announce the plan later today. Any state-chartered bank or national bank with an Illinois branch may apply. Janulius's family owns Chicago's Broadway Bank, but it doesn't do state business and won't participate. A dispute over ballot language for the Illinois Constitutional Convention referendum went before an appellate panel yesterday with some questions remaining over the ruling. The AP says the panel could rule as early as today over whether a new ballot would be needed to correct mistakes in the language asking voters if they want a convention to draw up a new state constitution. But Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn, who's a party to that suit, said yesterday in Urbana that the appellate panel has already given its ruling and that the Illinois Supreme Court should decide.
They held late this afternoon that the circuit court judge who declared the language to be false and misleading declared part of a statute unconstitutional in Illinois, and that requires by court rule that the case go directly to the Illinois Supreme Court. So we'll be back and forth, whatever it takes. This is a fundamental right case.
Quinn came to the U of I yesterday to take part in a debate on the referendum. The dispute is over ballot language that Quinn and other referendum backers say is false and misleading. A circuit judge agreed, but ruled that election officials should hand out notices to voters explaining the mistake. Quinn says there should be an entirely new ballot with the corrected language, but state election officials say there's not enough time to get those ballots ready by Election Day. The language in question included the instruction that not voting on the Constitutional Convention referendum was the same as a no vote. That language was based on an obsolete statute. Lawyers are using a new law in Illinois to get cash for their clients who wrongfully spent time in prison. Robert Wildebor has more.
Yesterday, attorneys filed the first petitions for certificates of innocence. Those certificates would allow the wrongfully convicted to get compensation from the state. Prior to this, wrongfully imprisoned people had to get a pardon from the governor before they would see any money.
They should not have had to ask the state to pardon them. We should be asking them, would you please pardon us?
Representative Mary Flowers sponsored the new legislation.
If the governor didn't find fit that they were worthy of a pardon, despite the fact they are innocent, they'll never get their money.
In fact, some innocent people have been waiting years for Governor Rod Blagojevich to pardon them. This summer, Blagojevich vetoed the law creating certificates of innocence, but lawmakers overrode that veto last month. I'm Robert Wildebor.
Authorities in Aurora are trying to find out what caused the fiery crash of a medical evacuation helicopter that was transporting a 13-month-old girl to Chicago's Children's Memorial Hospital. The crash killed the child as well as the helicopter's pilot, a nurse, and a paramedic. Investigators are looking into the possibility that the helicopter clipped a guy wire on a radio tower before it went down. An organization that encourages the study of free markets and principles of Western civilization says moving off the University of Illinois campus won't discourage its mission. The Academy on Capitalism and Limited Government Fund holds its second conference today, just days after agreeing to operate independently from the U of I. Faculty had raised concerns that its structure might restrict topics to those with a certain point of view, creating an undue conservative political influence. But Acting Executive Director Tom O'Loughlin says the new relationship is simply a matter of changing administrative language, as it sets up a fund to handle donor grants within the U of I Foundation. He says the Academy's primary allegiance lies with the Urbana campus.
And I think most of our donors share that view. So the donor gifts, donor grants, would be made first and foremost with donor intent in mind, and then hopefully the school would feel that this research, this curriculum modification, this curriculum addition would be a welcome addition.
O'Loughlin says in a worst-case scenario, faculty members or the chancellor could reject any donation if they felt the funds would be unsuitable for research. He says the academy could then opt to direct its funds to another campus, but adds that's merely speculation. The academy plans to relocate to the U of I Research Park. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 9:30. I'm Tom Rogers.
This morning's weather forecast is made possible with support from your locally owned Central Illinois IGA supermarkets, including your IGA stores in Arthur, Mahomet, and Villa Grove. Hometown proud and encouraging you to join them in supporting public radio.
It's 8:35, and meteorologist Ed Kieser joins us for an in-depth look at weather. Morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Well, 881 people called last hour and pledged $23,793, and that doubles to over $47,000.
Excellent.
How about that? And so tomorrow morning we will begin our pledge drive in earnest, and you'll have your opportunity to call or log on and make your contribution to WILL and all it means to you. Hey, this afternoon at 2:40, I promised Jeff Bossert that we'd mention it, since we talk a little about sports and stuff sometimes in our transitions here. Baseball's Greatest Hit is a book that celebrates the 100th anniversary of Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Uh-huh.
And this afternoon, Jeff...